Happy hump night. No, no, stop it, people. It's Wednesday, hump day. But it's not daytime, get it? All right, let's try this again. Happy hump night. NYC Today Live with Janelle and the Hump Day Recovery Squad. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Live in New York, but broadcasting everywhere. NYC Today Live Talk Radio. Hot topics, family and relationships, business tips and successful habits, beauty tips and product reviews, sports, movie reviews, stupid prank calls, interviews with interesting people and everyday heroes, music from amazing artists that you may not have heard on the radio until now, and so much more.
Isn't that everything?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We'll even ask somebody on a date for you.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, we just do what we want and talk about anything we feel like, whenever we feel like it. We really have no focus. Now for your host. It's your girl, Janelle, and her surprise and random co-host.
Hello, and it is Janelle in the building with the Hump Day 21. And we will be talking about today what it feels like to fall for someone while still in the relationship. So this is our topic for today, but we have some amazing people that we really want to celebrate your birthday. So we're going to celebrate you just as soon as I welcome our co-host to the show. What is up? Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Say Young is in the building.
Yoo-hoo! I made it in.
You made it. Look, we're the only ones holding it down for now. The rest of the co-hosts will be here, too. How was your week?
It was wonderful. It was tax day for me on Monday, so that part wasn't that good. But the IRS has really, like, stepped up its game. They have the free, like, internet filing now for taxes, so it's awesome. So I got it in just under the wire. I think I submitted it at, like, 9 p.m.
I'm so late. I'm late. I hope I don't owe anything. Well, they get that 5% penalty if I do, but...
Oh, no, Janelle.
Oh, my God. I was so tired. I was like, oh, we're going to get it in. And my eyes were crossing, and I just said, you know what? I have to do that on Thursday. So, anyway, that's where I'm at.
I hope the IRS is not listening to this show right now.
They don't care about my little money. They got bigger fish to go after. Man, I kind of thought about that as I was standing, and I thought, nah, they don't really care about you. But maybe they do. I have some stories, but that's a whole nother show. Let me tell you, Say Young, my weekend was something. I kind of want to talk about the election, too. You know what? Before we really get into that, let's start this off with the happy birthdays. We've got Calvin Rutherford, Missy Nikki Nicole, Miss Nikki Cole, Latanya Tiz, and Henry Aqueller, Cassina, and Sean Rich. Happy birthday!
Woohoo! Happy birthday, y'all!
Celebrant! Where are you? Show yourself! Where are you?
Happy birthday,
wish you a very happy birthday. Oh, man. So, yesterday was election day, Faye Young.
Yes, in New York. It was very sad for me. I'm very depressed today because my candidate lost, Bernie Sanders lost. Yes,
and you
have
very, very convinced me.
Yes. Did you go vote, Janelle? I hope so.
I sent my ballot in. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome.
I have a ballot.
Okay, awesome.
You know what? I was really shocked because all I saw when I got off the train on yesterday was Bernie. All I saw, I mean, Bernie supporters were really out there. And of course, they were battling with Hillary, but it was more Bernie supporters when I got off the train. I just was like,
that's
oh,
right.
God.
I know, it was a huge grassroots movement. I'm shocked that he lost by so much. But on the other hand, have you guys been hearing about the fact that over 120,000 or over 100,000 Democratic voters were purged from the Brooklyn boroughs? Like the Democratic rolls were purged. Their names were not on there listed as Democrats. And it's about 100,000 people that got purged from their roster. So it's a story that the mainstream media has not picked it up because they've been in the pocket of Hillary Clinton and all the other mainstream candidates for the entire election season. But I think people who are hearing this show and any other show, you should be aware that over 100,000 people from the Democratic registered voting list in Brooklyn, their names got purged for some reason. They no longer was on that roster, and people showed up to vote and they couldn't vote because their names got purged. So I just want people to be aware of it because I think that this voter suppression kind of tactics from all of the establishment candidates and their kind of party machines. I think people should be very suspicious about it. And I looked at the people who turned out in yesterday's primary. New York Times had all the numbers turning out in various districts, and they were incredibly low. So I really don't know what's going on. I'm so shocked that there would be such a low voter turnout given how important this primary was. So I don't really know what to make of it. And the other factor is obviously Bernie Sanders has been very strong from the very beginning about the corrupting influence of Wall Street and other big corporations and their donations to both parties. And obviously Hillary Clinton has been taking a lot of money from the Wall Street crowd and from big corporations. And, you know, she and her husband her campaign and her brand have been making their name in New York City for quite a while. So I actually was not surprised that a significant number of people in New York City, which has become more and more affordable for average Americans and has become more and more Wall Street and oligarchs and billionaires from all over the world coming here and buying property and sometimes not living here and sometimes visiting. But New York City has become such a transformed city in terms of the kind of money that's awash in the city. And given that New York City is a large part of our economy, is funded by Wall Street and the financial sector, I wasn't surprised that, you know, that group would come out and very heavily vote against Bernie Sanders or vote for Hillary Clinton, because obviously Hillary Clinton is pretty much going to be conciliatory to that industry, and she's going to keep supporting them and keep turning a blind eye. And she sounds like a progressive on this campaign trail, but she's not really, because she's been getting millions, like tens of millions, from all the major banks, she and her husband, over the last years that they've been out of the White House. And, you know, she herself made several million dollars from speeches to all the major banks since she left her Secretary of State office. So in a way, I sort of like expected some kind of like, you know, that New York and New York City in particular would not be as progressive as people think, even though New York City is very liberal and New York State is very blue and it's a very liberal state, supposedly. The thing is that there's still so much of New York State economy that's driven by these big money corporations and big money Wall Street banks that I'm not at all surprised that they were able to, you know, get those people to not really turn out for Bernie. And I also don't know why there was not more votes. I'm not sure. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, there wasn't perhaps enough outreach, like out into the boroughs, that we had this fiasco in Brooklyn and, you know, over 100,000 voters were purged from the list. And I think it just like goes to show that we don't really have a really great democracy in this country anymore where people's like votes actually count and, you know, they really want people to vote. I really don't think that the establishment groups really like people to vote, or they don't like populist candidates. Like they want a candidate that they picked, you know, that the party picked as their favorite, but they don't really want like, someone who actually is genuine and not party. They don't really want them to win, and I don't think they want people to actually have as much of a say as we like to pretend that we do. So that's my take on it.
Oh man, you know, I'm not sure whether my vote counted anyways because I sent in an absentee ballot. Because I don't vote in New York, I vote in Indiana. But I don't want to be a pessimist because I have two views actually on it.
Right.
I have a vibrational view, and then I have a skeptic or a, what do you call it, a conspiracy view, right?
Right.
And they both oppose each other, and it'll sound like I'm two different people, depending on what day I'm talking. So I'll start with the skeptic view, and I'll end up with the vibrational view. So the skeptic view is pretty much like, you're going to use the 100,000 votes in Brooklyn being purged as, you know, exhibit A. Because, honestly, as in the skeptic realm, I don't think that votes actually have ever counted. I think it's always been ran by corporate in some way. I always like to bring up movies or series or some whatever television shows that I'm kind of catching the glimpse of because I love to see how things mirror the government, what's going on in the government. Like, you know, these writers are writing this stuff, and I believe that they're pulling things out the spirit air when they're writing and kind of almost foretelling what is to come and, you know, different things. There is, I don't know, a lot of people watch Scandal. Do you watch Scandal, Sam?
I haven't watched Scandal, no.
Okay, so
I know,
Scandal,
it's a crime, right? I heard it's an amazing show.
it is an amazing show. It's not a crime. I can see how people might not, you know, it's kind of like, the name was a turnoff to me, but I watched the first show, and I didn't think that I was going to keep watching, and I got hooked on from the first show, and I've never missed an episode, but the name isn't vibrationally in tune with what I would normally look for, right? So, but I love Shonda Rhimes and how she writes about see the political thing is happening on the show as
well.
Right. And she had someone on there, the character had already been designed 7 years ago when the, or how many years the show started. That character of Donald Trump had already been embedded in the show. So he's running.
Wow.
And all of the players kind of resemble some of the things. The current president
mm-hmm.
actually got nominated through a whole lot of dirty movement that he didn't even know about, that he
mm-hmm.
found out later, almost had him want to kill himself, how they actually got him elected, which was, they call it Defiance. It was a small city somewhere in Defiance. They took their votes.
Mm-hmm.
They omitted their votes, and that's how he
won. Wow. Wow.
So it's funny when you say that, how, you know, 100,000 people, about 100,000 people living in Detroit.
In Brooklyn, yeah, in Brooklyn, a very, very progressive borough.
Mm-hmm.
Right, in Brooklyn, right? But on the show, Defiance was about 100,000 people that lived there.
Wow.
So it's like the mirror of how
how brilliant.
Writers were
mm-hmm.
from books or whatever they're writing
mm-hmm.
from, or entertainment.
That's right. It's not really fiction anymore, is it? Yeah, it's amazing.
Totally like foretelling. It's like
mm-hmm.
you're psychic. And
yeah.
I, you know, and it shows, and if you watch the show, you can see how the players are good and bad at the same time, and how,
right.
You know, how Hillary has,
right.
you know, might have started with a good heart when they wanted to, you know, and as things turned and as, you know, they got deeper into politics, they had to make the better of two evil decisions to either win or to, you know, it's like, and it, this is what my mom always says. She says, I always vote for the lesser of the two evils.
Yeah,
you know,
but I think that
she never feels
right.
like she's voting for somebody that's completely pure. She never feels
pure.
That way. She always says, "I'm going to vote for
the what I find completely shocking, and I think this is why this is such a like a devastating thing. Although I also remain optimistic too, is that I really think Bernie Sanders is one of the most like pure candidates we would have had in any number of decades. And people have said it because this man has not changed his positions in like over 20, 30, 40 years. He's been in public life. He's always been a liberal or progressive left side of the political spectrum politician. You know, he's never changed his like votes. He's always gone with the conscience. He remains an independent, you know, which is why it is so important. And this is one of the reasons why he's losing, is because the corrupt Democratic National Committee. I freaking hate political parties, and this goes to show you how disenfranchised people feel about both political parties. And the Democratic Party is no different in any way from the Republican Party, even though the Republican Party is more overt in spewing like their hatred, or like having their candidates spew hatred, and they're pretty okay with it, obviously. But the thing is that in essence, both parties are extremely corrupt and are only thinking about their own agendas and how they're going to survive and how they're going to have power, because Bernie Sanders always remained an independent for most of his political life. And I think the reason why he chose to be an independent is because he didn't want to toe the party line. He didn't want, you know, to have to vote for things that just because the party wants you to vote for it. He didn't want to live like that. He wanted to vote for things that he thought was right or just. And that's why he always remained as an independent, although he votes with or caucuses with the Democratic Party. And because he is running now as a Democratic Party candidate, and he's allowed to under the law, the DNC, the Democratic Party, is coming out in full force and totally shafting him and really, really providing absolutely no, and it's like a mob mentality. And I think they're so disgusting. I'm so like disgusted with the Democratic Party. I've always been registered as one, but no one has really, like, excited me for a long time in the Democratic Party. I didn't even vote in the 2008
I'm not registered as a Democrat. I'm registered as an independent. But I guarantee you this, yes, that being, okay, I'm still speaking as a skeptic. I haven't gotten to
the vibrational,
the
yes, right.
Yeah, I
right.
haven't gotten there, but and it's kind of hard to get there sometimes. However,
yes.
I don't believe that a pure soul is allowed to win.
Yeah.
The skeptic in me, and the moment that they do, and the moment that they do win, that they are a caustic.
Something terrible might happen to them, right?
Corrupt. Well, they, yeah. they are made, they have to turn it within the channels to do anything. Honestly, I believe that Bernie, so after you educated me on that, I started looking it up, and, you know, I put my vote in for Bernie. However, do I believe that if he had won with his entire run, if he had won completely and become president, do I think that things that he said might not have happened or might have been transitioned or changed or put on hold or whatever? Yes, I do, because honestly, I don't think that there's power. I think that there's a seat or some kind of throne to be president, but it's not no real power, because you in turn have to do, you have a whole bunch of people you got to fight against in the Senate and the House to get things done, and they will take and twist. I'm going to use the example of Obama with his desire to make health care affordable for everyone. That is a clusterfuck, and I did say the word fuck on the show. Not going to say it again.
That's right,
but that
yes.
is, and that screwed me as a person that was unemployed.
Yes.
That really
right.
screwed me, and I don't
That's
think
right.
that was his original Obamacare, but they put his name all over it, and they tailored it so
well,
that the big corporations
well,
or whatever made
but
more
the insurance
money
companies.
Off of
it. It's a giveaway. Yes, it's a giveaway to the insurance companies, and it doesn't really
yeah.
solve healthcare issues. Absolutely,
it
but you know the thing
and,
is, no, but you know the thing is, I'm gonna make a distinction. I think Obama was a very charismatic candidate. But I didn't vote for him in 2008. I was not excited about him, and I didn't get behind him because I thought he was kind of a fake. And the reason why I said that is because he really didn't have a long, extensive experience in public office, so that you almost never could pin him down on a position. He didn't leave a paper trail of what his thoughts were. So that signaled to me that he actually was not totally principled in terms of his ideologies. He kind of went along. Like, if you ever look at his voting record, he almost always just went along with the party. So that's a sign right there. And then the other thing is, even though he spouted a lot of progressive ideas, like on the campaign trail, and made great speeches, and he did talk, credit to him, he gave a great speech on race relations in the U.S. as only someone like him could do. So that was amazing. So in that sense, he had some star quality. But in the middle of the campaign for the general elections, even though he promised to only take public financing for his campaigns, and his opponent, John McCain, took only public financing and did not want to take more, Barack Obama took a lot of private donations from Wall Street. I mean, Wall Street was the biggest donation to his campaign. So I felt like, to me, right away, even before he became president, Barack Obama did signal to everybody what his true colors were, his stripes were. So I can't say that to me, he didn't fool me in terms of thinking he was really a true progressive person or like was that principled. I think he was a little bit more establishment than people thought he was. And to be honest,
I don't
like
disagree
he gave,
with taking. I honestly don't. I don't feel like, I mean, that's a great campaign to say, oh, I'm not going to take anything from Wall Street or what happened.
From big corporations. Yeah, but that's what Bernie Sanders did. Bernie Sanders showed you can do it, and he stuck with it.
But he didn't win.
Not taking.
No one has won. You can try to prove to America, oh, I'm not for the big box company, I'm not going to touch any of their money, and you don't win, you can't do anything. There is a design that they have in place and proven, because no one has won without those. So if you want to win, I don't think Obama is, well, I'm obviously for Obama, but I don't think he's fake. I think he's smart. People that were running his campaign, and for one, is people who run the campaign to make him win, not really the obviously he's a great speaker and everything, and we have to give him that.
Mm-hmm.
But
Bernie has the
same star quality, but the difference between Bernie and you might say other differences as far as, you know, he didn't battle to the thing, but that's the difference. He did not. I don't see.
But you see, I don't think the reason why Bernie is losing is because he doesn't have enough money, because people have given him many small donations. He's taken no super PAC money. He's raised more money than Hillary Clinton in both February and March. So it's not because of the money. It's because the entire establishment apparatus is really running against him.
But you're talking about he's made way more money without Wall Street.
Well, there's another quality to this is also because if Bernie was running against any other Democratic candidate that was not Hillary Clinton, I think that he would have beaten her already, or he would have beaten that other candidate already.
Yeah,
the problem
if it was
is,
even playing field.
You
know what I'm saying? Like, if it was even playing, it's like Hillary has a brand. You know, that's the only thing that wins in this country, yes, is brand.
It's brand, right. It could very well be, because she has her own star quality, or she has her own loyalty, and because, you know, like, to be honest, we're probably pretty hooked in, or we're really mesmerized by the idea of having another first, right? Not only the first Black president, which we had with Barack Obama, but another first, which is a woman being president.
Yeah.
Although Bernie Sanders would have been the first Jewish president, too. So he would have been another first as well. So, you know, it's too bad
I absolutely love. I have to go to this because if you watch this, you would actually be like, we would be flipping back and forth between the campaign and this show. None of the candidates in real time in America have ever won without the backing of Wall Street. That is a fact, you know. And the truth, and there are things at work that I want to call us lay people are not privy to. There are all kinds of things going on behind the scenes that are not fair,
right?
But they are still going on, and only if, like, for example, Barack, you're right, he was fresh. That was one of the reasons we wanted him, because he didn't have much say in the thing. He had not really been. Bernie Sanders has been in the politics for years, but he has been very, very, very true to who he is and everything like that. Barack Obama has been in, but not necessarily. Nobody knew who he was. He didn't have much, you know, anything. But what is so funny is that on the scandal, there was a candidate last year that was running on scandal. And they burned her. They almost tried to get her killed, but they burned her and put her out because she ended up committing some kind of murder that they had to cover and all of that. They ended up setting her up to murder her gay husband. And she is so bizarre, but if you have been watching from the beginning, it all kind of makes sense. Her personal life got in the way, and they used it because they knew she was a Bible-toting Republican, and that she disdained that her husband was truly gay. She kept catching him with men and stuff like that, and she was trying to hide him, and she, you know, climbed the ladder, and she became the vice president. And she was going to run for president against the president, but they really start taking pictures of him with different men, setting him up with different men. Like, the government would send guys, you know, prostitutes his way to hit on him, like they were, like, really interested in stuff, and taking pictures and sending them to her, and it caused her to snap. So she ended up getting a fight with him, and not intending to kill him, she just grabbed something and hit him with it, and he died or whatever. So, of course, she's the vice president of the United States, and they have to, you know, she doesn't want to be known as the first woman close to president that also killed her husband, and that would be what she known for. So they had a fixer, the woman who actually heads the show, the Kerry Washington character. She covers it up and fixes it and everything, and she, of course, can't run now. So she ends up getting a show of her own, like a talk show, a political talk show, though. But it's as big as Oprah's, right? So whoever she pushes, so they try to tell her, she said, I wanted to be president, but you know I have more power having a talk show. Over the politics. And I guarantee, I don't know, because I don't watch TV, but I'm guessing if Sanders, everybody gonna laugh or whatever, just listening, because I know I'm right. If Sanders had to sit down with Oprah and had a conversation, he would have been completely elected. I don't know who sat down, who Oprah supported, but if he had to sit, because Oprah, that's what put Barack Obama on the scene. Mm. I mean, he already was charismatic because he attracted Oprah. But if he had Oprah right now, her show is where you want to be if you want to be anything. You know what I mean? In terms of quick fame or recommendation, quick, you know, you want the highest honors, entertainment-wise. Everybody knows, go on the Oprah show. You want your stuff on the Oprah show. Or now, which is just like saying Oprah, Dr. Oz, when it comes to health or whatever, which she created Dr. Oz. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, really, to me, to be honest, you know, the entertainment, or she's not the you know, regular entertainment, but she is a form of
media.
Her ideas and opinions matter more than anybody. Currently, people want to know what Oprah thinks about it before they even, it's a fact. And this character that was vice president is now everybody considers her crazy and too right wing and too this character, but all her followers, whoever she swings them, however she swings them, however she says, her candidates tend to win. So whoever she says on her show, that's who. So everybody's fighting to be on her show and fighting to have to see where to swing her their way so that they'll have pick up that quick. Whatever. So between Wall Street and a big name, I'm not going to just say Oprah, but whoever's big at the time, a big respected name, household name in Wall Street, that's what it takes to win. And
that's right.
If I was to run for president, I wouldn't turn down money from Wall Street. So I mean, and I have a good heart, and I know what I want to do with it. But once it's not until you're in the office.
Right.
You know, Bernie Sanders, I believe in Bernie Sanders. It's not just because you said it. I went and I looked, researched it myself. I believe in Bernie Sanders, but do I believe he can be turned? Because he's a human being, and once you get in the office and you discover there are hit people and CIA agents and dirty people, nobody's on your side, really. And the people who backed you really didn't plan on backing your plans from the beginning. Now you just by yourself in the water. Jeez. Then what you gonna do? What are you gonna do? They say no. I know you want to do that, but now you in here now. This is how it's gonna go. So we can give you a little pull and let you
well,
do a
you,
little.
You, yeah, you made a good point. You made a good point. I mean, there's a lot of agency heads and people behind the scenes that, you know, perhaps they're actually more powerful than the president, right? Like they're the ones pulling the strings. And I mean, we know that with George W. Bush, we know that pretty much George W. Bush was pretty much a puppet head, really, because he did the bidding of Dick Cheney. And if anybody, it was Dick Cheney that really dictated policy and all that. And obviously Dick Cheney was not the face of the presidency or even really campaigned, right? He just got picked in the last moments as vice presidential candidate. And that's who was really running the White House. And pretty much anyone who, you know, wanted to say anything in the cabinet that went against Dick Cheney, like they were out, like Colin Powell, essentially. Like he got pushed out of the administration because he wanted to bring some sense and order into the whole Middle East, like, fiasco, and Dick Cheney wasn't having any of it. So that's how Colin Powell got out, right? So you're right. I mean, it's amazing that you're learning so much about this from the TV show. From the TV show. I see it's very educational, though, so good for you. You know,
you know what I mean? But I look at it when I watch different things. I look by Grace Nelly, and I turn around and I look and see how things start to unfold in real life. And it's just really, like, people really need to start paying attention. Even 24, the show 24, I talked about this before, 24 prepared you for Obama. No one was ready for, no one, I mean, not no one. When I say that, black people didn't expect Obama to win.
But they had a black president on the show, right?
That's what I'm saying.
On the show 24, they had a black president.
For 7 years or 9 years before, and then soon as 24 ended, Barack started running. Like, I don't think that it was planned, and you know, Barack or whatever. But soon as 24 ended, the running,
that's
then
right.
He started running. Right out
well,
of
that's
it was
a,
like
yeah, that's well, that's amazing. That's an amazing thing that you draw the parallel, Janelle, because it's true that. Because the show was on the air and it gave like a possibility, right? Like it showed like the possibility of having a black president and like, you know, making it like something that's a reality, right? Like, and like that perhaps helps people to be actually open to the idea, right? Or that, you know,
it's
not
the number
that,
one show.
Right.
It was the number one show, so that means almost everybody who watched the shows was watching that. My mom was watching it religiously. I mean, I watched it every now and then, but my mom was watching it religiously. It was like, you know, crack for a lot of people, and it really set their mind to believe it was possible for those who wanted it to happen and for those who were just like, huh. But he was a good person in the beginning. And by the end, he was making some, you knew that he was a good person when he was making them bad terms. You knew. Things were happening to his family. People who he loved was being threatened, you know? Like, it's not, it's, you know, that to me, if you want any power, that'd be president. to me, the presidency seat is an idea. You know, when I look at who's on, the person who it becomes president represents what the face of the country more than power. It's more like they need a face. Who's their new face? And they often look for great faces. I don't know what to deal with Bush, but, you know, Bush was very charismatic with his, I don't want to disrespect the president, any president on my show, but he was not, he was funny. He was, you know, I'm talking about Bush Jr. He was not,
right.
You know, he was not interested in the presidency at all. He only ran because his daddy said. He was saying stuff that was crazy, ludicrous. He was crazy, like,
he
was very real about how he felt about everything. And he just had no, it was like somebody said, look, son, you're going to be president. We all got it all set up. All you got to do is show up. And
no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's how Bush became. That's why, like, that's why the Republican establishment picks, like, the candidates, right? And the reason why this whole election cycle has been such a story is because of the fact that on the Republican side, it seems that the establishment hasn't been able to, you know, choose the candidate they want to run and have that candidate resonate with the voters, right? I mean, say what you will about Trump, say what you will about Trump and Ted Cruz, you know, both of them are not really establishment Republicans. They kind of came from maybe, I mean, Trump in particular, he kind of sort of came out of nowhere. But Ted Cruz was considered always the fringe of the party because he came from the Tea Party sector and he was not friendly with the Republican establishment. And all the big donors that pretty much all the big oligarchs and the billionaires who pretty much pick the Republican candidate, I believe, and that may have started with Bush, too, like people who are very much interested in getting oil from the Middle East and who were part of the military-industrial complex who really wanted war because it meant more profits for them. I mean, Dick Cheney used to be the head of Halliburton, which is a big military contract company, and they made billions from the Iraq war, and he, as a shareholder and previous president or CEO, got, you know, he got a huge financial windfall. So he essentially engineered policy that was going to help his former company, which is absolutely disgusting, but that's how things go. So you're right. Those types of people who in industry, who are billionaires, they're the ones behind the scenes, you know, picking the candidates and pretty much putting them up, putting them in and having them, like, run. And I believe that's pretty much what Hillary Clinton is, too. Like, she and anyone that the Republican establishment would have picked are not that different, really. She's really not that different. And, you know, if you listen to her speeches, she's a total war hawk. You know, she really talks about, like, really being, like, a Republican neocon and, like, going into Middle East again and continually perpetuating the war machine. So she's really no different to me than a Republican. She's just a woman, and she has the Democratic label behind her, but that's it. But it's like, it's so these...
But she was a Republican before.
She was, that's
before
right. She was originally a Republican.
She married Clinton, who was a Democrat from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
She became a Democrat. But she had, and I'm not going to, like, bash her because now that she's the one won, I think she's the lesser of the two evils. I'm going to vote for her because I think that what we got. I don't know what happened with, please enlighten me, what happened with, please. I'm guessing it didn't go his way because I think you would be even more upset. But what happened with Donald Trump, or that hasn't happened yet?
He's won. He won New York State. He won all of the delegates or most of the delegates.
Hillary and Trump running?
I think people are saying that, yes, because they're both very close to the numbers, or they think that they are. You know, Hillary a little bit less so, although the media is going to spin it as like she's inevitable. But And maybe she is, but I don't know. But Trump definitely is inevitable in terms of the delegate count. However, he's very close. He's like about 60% to the delegate count. He needs like 1,200-something, and he has like 700 now. And they think that he's going to continue to do well in all these other states. So they think he might end up having all the delegates he needs. And if he does, then he will be the nominee, I guess. There can't be any rules for a convention fight. But if he does not have the 1,200 he needs, then they go to the convention. The Republicans go to the convention, and they have a convention fight because he doesn't have.
So basically, the war is not over. Sanders hasn't lost yet. He just lost New York.
Yes, he just lost New York. And the thing is, it's not totally over. I'm still going to be phone banking for Bernie this weekend. I'm going to volunteer all my time. I already donated several hundred dollars to his campaign. I'll probably donate more. I mean, the thing is, Sanders lost. And then people are going to spin it as this is a death knell for Sanders. But really, it only put him behind 31 delegates. So it's not like, Yeah.
I'm so not political, yes. So I did the absentee ballot, and I mailed mine in. And I don't know when the Indiana elections is. I just thought, let me mail it in because I see the elections are coming up in New York. So yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably haven't done Indiana yet. It was my guess.
Mm.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's my outfit on this. When I say I'm political, meaning I thought everybody was voting yesterday all over the country. Okay, so it's not
well,
only for Sanders. If you're not,
it's
I mean,
not totally
we, have
over.
We have listeners that are not in New York. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
Sanders, we've been talking about Sanders, you know. Now that was the skeptic side because New York, you know, he lost
That's
New
right.
York, right?
He
that
lost
was
New
the
York,
skeptic
yes.
side. But vibrationally, yeah. if this man believes in all of him, in all of himself, if he believes that is possible, yes. that he can be president, he will be president. I mean, I believe
right.
that. Like, you, whatever you believe for yourself, is what you're going to get. If he doesn't get
That's
it,
right.
it's because he
That's
didn't
right.
truly believe that he had a shot. However,
you're right, Janelle.
That
yes.
doesn't mean if he doesn't believe that he wasn't going to be the best candidate. Like, you know, and
That's
honestly,
right.
I don't think Barack started out believing.
That's
I
right.
That
same thing with Bernie
bit.
Sanders. Same thing with Bernie
yeah.
Sanders. He did not think he had a shot in hell.
Yeah.
Like, he did. He was just running as a protest candidate. That's what I believe he was running as. Like, he wanted
yeah.
to be a liberal, progressive voice, and he just wanted to make a point, I think, initially. Absolutely. Same
and
as Barack.
And people fell in love with what,
That's
he,
right.
what he stood for. So,
yes.
you know, give him some support and, you know, vote wherever you are. Vote when it's time for you to vote. Vote, give, you know, your candidate. You, I mean, this is how people make it with other people. You know, sometimes you might
That's
not
right.
have faith in yourself, but you need a team of people to believe in you that help you come to that place for your,
That's
in yourself
right.
as well, you know. So
That's
we
right.
all need that support, so get out support him. We
get
did
out there.
Oh, over
That's
half
right.
the show on the politics, but I think that it was really important to talk about. You know, we just,
yes.
I mean, it was really important. But, sheesh, we'll keep talking about the elections, you know, every week. We will be talking, especially once the young is here, because she's very passionate about this election in particular. So we're going to definitely talk about it every third or fourth.
Yes, right.
Some of my other polls not as political, so we want to get a good conversation out of the rest of them, but... maybe Julius, maybe his show. So, I mean, I'm not a political person. I send my vote in for Sanders, and that's about where I stand. And whoever wins between him and Hillary, I'll be voting for those, one of those people in the last elections, but I just say you gotta get out there and vote, and if you're a suspect, in New York, if you're somewhere else, if you're in New York and you don't use your, because a lot of people in New York are like me, you have your voter's registration in another state, just send in an absentee ballot, turn it up for them online, and mail it in. It should count. I hope it counts.
Yes. Amen, sister. Yeah, from your word to God. And I am so there with you. I totally believe that it is vibrational. So everybody, like all the burning sports, we have to send our total 100% belief and vibration to him to still come out of it. I mean, people have been counting him out like so many times during this election cycle. Everyone has from the very beginning kept saying Hillary Clinton is inevitable. And, it's like Bernie, every time there's a loss for him, everyone always writes his obituary and et cetera. But everyone, like what Janelle said, is so, it's that's truth to power. Vibration is everything. It's the only thing, actually. So everyone send that vibration, if you're a Bernie supporter, to him, and we keep working, and we keep believing, and that's it. That's what it is, belief and faith. Like, that's very powerful. And maybe belief and faith, maybe it's going to even matter more than, big donor money. So let's hoping, I knock on wood that's the case. And what she said, it's so true.
I was going to try to fit in the name of the show, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to retitle this show.
I know, we have to talk about this topic.
No, we ain't talking about the topic, and I'm going to retitle the show and then move the topic to a date further away.
Yes.
Because I was looking at the clock, and I was like, we need to talk a little bit more about this. This is a real topic, And I just never felt like we actually started talking about that, because about what that was so irrelevant to what's happening now. So
if you
tuned in and you were waiting on us, I'm sure you weren't, but if you were waiting on us, I'm sure you tuned in because of the title, but I'm sure you really were, like, feeling what we were talking about. This show will be postponed for another date. You can just look in our lineup by tomorrow. You'll see where it'll be, probably show number 26 or 27. And, you can catch it later on throughout the in the year, so
that's right.
Oh, geez, we didn't even do any music for y'all. That was a good one. And the rest of my co-hosts, they all made the look. Family are coming in when the show is over.
Yeah.
Say hi to Sandman. Hi, Sandman. Hello.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
Hey there.
I see a Sandman comment as the show is ending. We were talking about not even the show. We talked about the elections here in New York.
The primary
the primaries with Bernie Sanders and Hillary, and so that's what we talked about the whole show.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about with that.
Oh man. So we'll be just, like, kind of talking about the election throughout the week, no matter what the title, and if we don't get to the title of the show, we'll just push the title away.
That's right.
We'll just keep pushing titles, but and renaming the show. But, Sandman, since your voice hasn't been heard, tell them about voting. Give them some advice on, voting and how important it is, and
Mm-hmm. Voting is extremely important. If you always tell people, if you don't vote, don't complain. You know, mm-hmm. some people may feel like your vote don't count because, you know, a lot of times it's not because of just people don't win due to popular vote. It's all on, you know, the Electoral College. But what people mm-hmm. don't understand is that a lot of times they're swayed by the people. So if they see that the people are really leaning in a particular direction, they'll tend to lean with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, which to me, the most important elections is not the president. In my opinion, the presidential election is actually third, you know, next mm-hmm. to your local elections and Congress and Senate. So, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, those are the people that truly, truly run the country and run your local governments as well. And those are the ones that really affect you because, as you can see with our current president, you know, he want to put forth some sort of bill or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it tends to get blocked. You know, it may get through the Senate, but it doesn't make it to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so it's important.
Or even make a nomination, which is his right to do, or even appoint
right.
the nomination, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's why it's imperative that, you know, this time around, you know, God willing, we have another Democrat in the White House that, you know, people vote and we take the Senate back. Because then if we take the Senate back, then there's no question as to who is going to be on the Supreme Court. You know, so that fifth vote is going to mean a lot. And what they have on the table right now is overturning Citizens United, which is a bill
right.
that allows people to donate Dang. As much money as they want to these political
mm-hmm.
campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Hillary is taking full advantage of it, and a lot of people give Hillary a hard time because she's raising such an enormous amount of money, but the majority of the money is not going to her campaign alone. It's going to Congress and senators to fund their election. A lot of people don't know that most of the time when the Congress and Senate aren't in session, they're in these rooms, and they are literally just raising money for re-election
yep.
because it's every other year.
Yep.
So that's the bulk of their job, really, is
funding. It's raising money.
You know, and begging for money,
mm-hmm.
you know. So.
Yep, yep. Absolutely.
I mean, if you two have more time, I added 27 minutes to the show. If y'all don't, we're going to pick up this conversation next week. I invite Sandman back to the show. Are you on the fourth Wednesday, Sandman?
What's that?
Are you hosting on the fourth Wednesday? I'm not looking.
No, I'm not. But I mean, I missed pretty much this whole show. I had a photo shoot that ran really long, so.
So if you know, we could take up to 26 minutes and go in a little bit more depth if y'all feel like it, which normally would be a meeting, or we could postpone the rest of this and talk about this again next week. I'm going to let y'all vote on it live. Pick it up next week. Actually, next week we are going to pick it up anyway, but I'll give y'all the option to talk about it for the next 25 minutes.
Yeah, I'm okay with either. I mean, everything.
Yeah, I'm good either way.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk more in detail. I mean, go ahead and continue in on that, which I heard Tayon coming in, chiming in. So go ahead
mm-hmm.
and pick up where you left off there, man.
So, yeah, so a lot of people don't know that, you know, that
mm-hmm.
that they go and they're in these small rooms, these cubicles, basically, and they beg for money for 6-8 hours a day when they're not being interviewed or, you know, in meetings or whatever, you know, the rest
exactly.
of the time it's just fundraising. So they're taking advantage of it while they can to get, you know, fellow Democrats elected to the Senate and the Congress. And then once they get in, then they overturn Citizens United, and of course that rubs out people like the Koch brothers and even, you know, Donald Trump, because Donald Trump gave a lot of money as well. But I, you know, they donate in a, you know, a ridiculous amount of money as businessmen, you know, for favors. Hey, you know, one hand washes the other type thing. So, of course, that won't happen, though.
Well, let me ask you this then, man, if I may jump in. I'm sorry to interrupt. Could I ask something?
Yeah,
you know, let me jump in and kind of ask you, Sandman, do you think that it's like, but do you think it's actually possible that people who benefit from the system of getting elected, like you just said right now that, you know, Hillary and her super PACs are raising all this money and they want it to go to the Democratic Party. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
There's a lot of noise here. Is that?
Oh, that's my, yeah, that's my son. He just went to sleep, but he's right.
Okay.
He's right. So I'm trying to lay him down.
Okay. But do you think that the people who get elected by taking money through super PACs, because when you just said that the rationale is the Democratic Party wants all these Democrats to be elected into office via the money they're taking from super PACs, and then once they're elected into office, they're going to go and overturn, like create legislation against Citizens United. Do you really believe that the people who got elected via the super PACs, like the ones who got benefited from it, that they would actually then go and make legislation that, you know, would turn over a law that actually helped them get into office? Like, that's kind of what I'm curious about, if you think that's something that could actually happen.
Yeah, I honestly believe so. I mean, there's a lot of Republicans that don't like Citizens United as well. So they would have to do it, because the same way they got in could be the same way that they get knocked out. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like taking advantage of the situation while you can, and then, you know, the next time around everything's going to be, I guess, on the up and up, for lack of better words, because they're going to have a cap as to how much, you know, money they can raise in a given year, or, you know, election time, or, you know, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, this is my only thing, though, is that, you know, I'm not entirely sure for me. I mean, I think the intentions is great, but I feel like the party system itself, like, you know, each party just wants to have, like, they want to stay in power, essentially, is what this is all about. And, you know, I'm not entirely sure that people who get elected into office using the methods that got them into office, that they would be so amenable after they get into the office to do the right thing and, you know, create legislation that's going to outlaw what helped them get into office. So, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical kind of about whether that could happen. And, you know, I don't know about any of the individual congressmen or women running in these elections, but you're so right that, you know, electing our representatives and our senators as well as our state legislature is so important, right? I mean, people forget that electing a state governor has enormous ramifications for how you live in your state, and people are finding out in all these states that allowed the Republican governors to be elected, and they've done some terrible policies, absolutely terrible, you know, and it's really ended up hurting the people who live in that state. So if anything, that's also incredibly important for people not to forget their state legislature and elected offices, and as you said, what's going on locally. So there is so much like ways to fight that it's not just about the presidency. And if anything, I hope that the progressive grassroots movement that Bernie Sanders has managed to ignite, I hope that it continues. I mean, I'm a big fan of his, and I'm supporting him. But at the very least, that there's, you know, some of this grassroots movement that we feel passionate about, I hope that it continues absolutely beyond the presidency. And, you know, and what your point about the other, you know, legislative bodies being even more important, it's so true. Like, they really are, like, the most important. And the president itself is not really supposed to be that powerful. I guess it's more that the presidency is like the symbol, right? It's sort of like, it has all this representational, like, effect, you know, for people. And it has this mobilizing effect, I hope. And I think that's why people are so invested in it. But it's so right to really focus on local elections. I just, you know, right now I'm not feeling such love for any of the parties. You know, I'm not feeling any love for either of the parties. So I feel so strongly that maybe, I don't know if there is an independent party or like something, but I feel so strongly that people should maybe make a movement somehow to make independent candidates a much bigger voice and a bigger presence in all of these smaller elections. And I don't know if
the thing about this, I'm independent. I'm not either.
Mm-hmm.
But then now I don't want to be independent anymore, because independent now has a actual, there's a party called Independent Party. When I say independent, I mean I'm an independent, meaning I don't vote for a party, I vote for the person. But they actually have a party that's independent. I mean, why do we have to have a party? Why don't we just have people to vote, whatever, but then that'll break up the whole way the government system has operated for, you know, years and years and years and years and years. So, but this is how we do it. We do it with churches. We do it, you know, with religion. We do it with, you know, we always have to group everybody in a category and say, this group means this or whatever. And over the years, you know, Republican used to be what Democrats were, and before then people got into Democrats that were Republican. To like kind of filter out some of anyway, and the roads have kind of reversed, or they're starting to look exactly alike. So it's, you know, and like you said, you know, it is the face. The president is more of a face. He is, to me, more of a character for the, you know, the United Nations. He's more that person that when we deal internationally, they need to be able to respect them. You know what I'm saying? And Barack Obama did a good job of having respect. Whoever gets in office has to be able to command respect. Not, oh, I'm a nice guy. They have to, the other nations around the world have to be able to look at him and respect him. And that really, to me, is his only job, is to make the country look good and to be kind of a spokesperson for the country, because nothing, no bills that he tried to pass is up to him. Nothing that he plans to do, all of them are talking, including Bernie Sanders. Oh, this is what I'm going to do. You're not going to do nothing but what they let you do. That is a fact. And that's,
I mean,
what,
the...
And I can speak up, I'm going to say this. This is why I could get behind, I got behind Barack Obama, because his theme was, we can. That was his theme. I can't do nothing. Everybody's like, oh, he ain't giving a straight answer. No, he told you the truth. He can't do nothing unless you continue to support him throughout his presidency. And that is a fact. And I'm myself included. I helped him get in the office, and I was like, the youngest for Sanders. I was going nuts and donating money, making T-shirts. I had designed so many T-shirts and giving them away. All kinds of stuff for Brock. And the moment he got in the office, I was happy, and you ain't heard me mention Brock and such and say, too bad they messed up his deal on the policy of health. Myself included, I did not beef. I'm not political. I'm still not political. I did not go advocate for different bills with him and nothing like that. I did not help our president. So we can vote whoever the best one. I send my vote in for Sanders. But to be honest, do I think my power lies in Bernie Sanders being president? No. And am I going to be political and stand and lobby, you know, lobby week after week and month after month for different laws that he's trying to pass? Nope. This is the problem, that we as the people, we want our president to do something. We're not going to help them. That's the thing for most people. And I'm putting myself in their name, number.
Right.
I'm sorry I took you off, Sam and Sam. Y'all continue.
Oh, no, it's okay. At least with the president, he has, you know, executive power. So in certain instances, it's like, okay, well, if y'all don't want to, you know, play fair, then that's all right. I'm going to flex my muscles and, you know, I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
So
that's right. That's right. And that's why, to a certain point, it's true. It's true what everyone's been saying, that certainly the president doesn't have all the power. But I think part of the reason why some people have been quite disappointed with Barack Obama is it seems like he never flexes any muscle against the Republicans, or he certainly doesn't seem to, like, you know, stand strongly for his positions. Like, maybe he's very conciliatory, or that's his style, and he likes to just, like, try to compromise. But there's a lot of people on the more liberal or progressive wing of the Democratic Party, or on that side of the political spectrum, who've been pretty disappointed that Barack Obama hasn't, like, been flexing more of his muscles or going up against the Republicans in a very public way. Like, for example, he just nominated Merrick Garland for the Supreme Court, and that's a prime example. Now, we know that the Republicans have been playing dirty, and they've already vowed ahead of time that they're not going to, like, put hearings on that, and they weren't going to do anything that the president wanted, essentially. They're going to be obstructionists. They already said that, you know, from the very beginning, and that's how they've been for the entire time that they retook the House. So since they retook Congress, there has not been one moment of conciliatory gesture from that party. Barack Obama thinks that, but the thing is, when he nominates Merrick Garland, who a lot of people believe is actually quite a centrist jurist, or they think he's not quite that liberal, and a lot of people don't actually know how he stands on Citizens United. A lot of people think that he seems kind of conservative enough that he might even support something like Citizens United. So this is the kind of nominee that Barack Obama has put forth. Why? He thinks because the Republicans loved Merrick Garland when they approved him for the judiciary appointment a couple of years ago, and all the Republicans, like, lined up behind him, the senators lined up behind him and said how great he was. Does Barack Obama actually think that giving a nominee that the Republicans want is somehow, like, is that, like, the solution? I think that's what people are really frustrated with. It's like,
I won't say that every decision Barack Obama has made has been necessarily a position that I would have made. But I still stress that no matter who becomes president, including, God forbid, that name that my mom said, don't say his name no more. including him. You cannot think that you're gonna walk into the presidency from the same angle in which you got in there. Once you get in there, things are revealed to you that wasn't before. And honestly, Barack is brilliant at he's brilliant at not ruffling certain waters. And he saw that when he got in office, that he said that from the beginning of his campaign, that he was going to try to have a bipartisan, which he did. He wanted to have,
but
he didn't want to have all Democrats.
Doesn't mean, but bipartisan doesn't mean giving into everything that the Republicans want or kowtowing, like, that doesn't mean never fighting for your position. And I think people are really upset with him about that, even symbolically.
I'm not saying that, but I don't think that he never did. You think he didn't fight for any of his positions?
I think
they denied him everything he tried to fight for. They say no. I mean, what can he do? I mean, it's about his vote that they had.
They were already
elected when he got in the presidency. It wasn't like he elected his whole all the people that vote or don't choose to vote.
But the thing is, like, the Supreme Court nominee thing is a prime example. If they already told him that they're not going to put hearings on the Supreme Court nominee at all, right, if they already said they intend to block him, what is the purpose of picking a candidate that he thinks the Republicans will like? Why is he appeasing them? Do you know what I mean? Like, if they already said to him,
what I wonder is, has he made a deal with her? That's what I wonder. You know, that's what I'm saying. Even whoever becomes president, yes, because now Bernie Sanders, this is who I'm hoping will make it in the end, right? So, and I think Sam Mann is hoping for Hillary. So whoever makes it in the end, right, whoever makes it, when they get in there, their whole campaign, people who weren't for them is going to scrutinize and make valid points about what they promised and what they're doing now. But that's because we're not in there with them.
Right.
We're not lobbying with them. This is what I'm saying. We can go all out, say, during these elections. So when the doors close on that White House and they are snug in their White House bed, and they are going back and forth from the bedroom to the Oval Office, and they are frustrated with all of the things that are revealed to them that we are not privy to. This is one of the things that I think this country is a problem. The most important issue to me in this country is that we are sheltered. We don't get all the news. We don't know all about. I had a friend, and he's African, but he lived a lot of his life in Germany, and now he's in England. I don't talk to him anymore, but I used to tell him stuff that, you know, what was going on with the elections or whatever, and debate. He was like, oh, that's all you heard? You didn't hear about this? I was like, and I'm listening to the news at this point because he's very political, very into politics, and I'm listening so I can have real conversations with him. And he was like, you're not getting all the news. I'm like, it's CNN. He was like, your CNN is not ours. CNN, we get your news and global news. When I watch the news, I see news that happens all over the world. When we get news, our news is tailored and sheltered.
Yes.
And the same with our government. We don't know everything that's happening under the wire. And they make all these kind of conspiracy movies and shows and stuff like that about things and hit people and And all of that is true. Like I said, all of that is true. All of that is true. People are really threatened by people. People are really told we will kill your family if you don't vote this way. And first of all, what's his name was, and this is me saying it, not saying y'all go, okay, I'm not saying this. This is me saying it. Janelle is saying this. First of all, if somebody threatened my family to turn my vote, and they threaten my child and tell me my child is going, you know, these things are happening in our government. People come up dead that, you know, and we hear about it and they brush it under the rug or say, it's a real deal to me. You know why didn't become president? Colin Powell didn't become president because they told him they was going to kill him if he ran. This was before 24 came out and prepared America to have a black president. This was before 24 came out. Colin Powell wanted, everybody was trying to convince Colin Powell to run, and like you said, Dick Cheney just totally got him out or whatever. Mm-hmm. The American people was asking him to run. Black, white, everybody wanted Colin Powell to run for president. His wife begged them not to because they told them that they would kill him if he ran. So we could say all day, Barack this and Barack or Hillary this or Hillary or Clinton, or we can go all day on who and what and where. But the real powers that be, you don't know their names. We don't know. We just want a president up there that doesn't make our country look weak. This is a fact. This is not me saying this for myself. This is what the country does. They pick a president. I'm not talking about the voters either. They pick a president that makes our country look strong. That doesn't make it look weak. That doesn't make it look. They don't pick somebody who looks like they too old to do anything. And I, honestly, if Barry Sanders don't win, that'll be one of the reasons, because the way he looks. They pick good-looking, they try to pick the best-looking president they can, the most able-bodied looking one. That's who, if you look at all our presidents, that's how they kind of look. They try to pick the youngest if they can. And if they don't want us to look weak because they don't want people to start dropping bombs because we're a weak country, weak-looking country. That's why they pick. That's how they pick them. And we can be optimistic and vibrational. And if everybody got on that accord of vibrational optimism, that we can have a president like Barry Sanders and stay pure all the way through, really trying to want people to get jobs, get good jobs, and really want people to be treated fairly, and really want, you know, want money to be shared abroad instead of all at Wall Street. And we can vote for this, but everybody has to be on that accord for us to resonate that into our government. But as long as we're talking about each candidate and talking about all of their weaknesses, we are not going to get that because we're focusing on what problems everybody has. Yes?
I hear you.
Focus, huh?
I hear you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we are. I mean, we can't say we. I'm not even talking about you. I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about Sammy.
Right.
All
right.
We hear about in elections is the other party's weakness and why they shouldn't be. We don't hear nothing about what would an election be like if everybody only talked about the strengths of the candidate. If only everybody talked about what's good in each and every candidate, what would the elections be like if we only focused on the good in all of the candidates? What would it be? How would it change the world if that's how, but we don't. We think to get people elected, we want Barry Sanders to win. So we're going to talk about all his good stuff. The show is almost over.
That's a very good point to make. I stand corrected.
We're going
to
come back. Say, young, remember, well, I'm going to remember where we left off. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about what it would be like. We're going to start there, and we're going to just let Sandman, Say Young, and whoever else is on the fourth show. Here we go. We got 60 seconds, so goodbye. See you.
Great show.
All right, have a good one, y'all.
Our time is up. We'll be back next week. But if you've acquired an addiction,
You can't give in. You can't give in!
I love NYC today. Oh, my God. I just love you guys.
Okay, go ahead then. Follow NYC Today Live Talk Radio now.
Push it! Push it! You can do it! Push the blue button!
And follow us everywhere.